the Wayne Ayers Podcast.
The Wayne Ayers Podcast.
Woohoo!
Time to wake your ass up for a blessed day.
Pretty good, pretty good. Yo, you're killing it. I see. my bad. Let me just do it. This is the Wayners Podcast, episode 39, I believe. Oh, I'm gonna get in trouble if I don't know. Oh yeah, 39. And I have a very special guest. She's killing the podcast game, like one of the best in the world, like the entire world, not the United States, Europe, Asia, everywhere. One of the best in the world, Morgan Apsher. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
No problem. How does it feel to just have like success? Like, it's been 2 years or a year?
About a year. I started it in February of 2021.
That's crazy. Yeah, I know like a lot of people. Yeah, that's amazing. But first of all, like, I'm sorry. But like, I want to go back to like where you're from. Like, I know you're from Hermantown, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Like, how's that life? Like, how is it living, like, growing up there?
Hermantown is really small. When I graduated high school, the town population size was 5,800 on that sign. Like, it was pretty small. So I grew up actually on my family's farm, grew up riding horses, big horse girl energy. But moved to Minneapolis, Minnesota for college and lived there for about 6 years and loved it. But yeah, where I'm from is pretty small.
No, that's amazing. So did you come from like a small town too? Like, did you ever do like this horse back riding competitions at all? Or was that just not?
Yeah, I did. I was a big nerd. I was in like 4-H and like would do art for 4-H and get ribbons. Like I was showing horses at the local county fair. Like I was really big into it.
So like, how does it feel? Like, when's the last time you've been back like home?
For the holidays in December.
So like, how does it feel like when you go back? Do like people treat you like a superstar? Kind of like when I go back, everybody's like, yo, Hollywood, we see you, da 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 da. Like, how does it feel? Like, do you get the same love when you get back?
I really don't. I think that's kind of the perk of having a podcast. The couple of times I have been recognized, people are like, your voice sounds really familiar. Like, are you on TikTok? And I'm like, yeah, hi. But it's been kind of nice where I feel like I'm flying a little under the radar, maybe not after coming on your show, but it's been really nice so far.
No, that's like, I just always think that's like crazy. So like, you don't ever, that's just, so like, how, never mind. Like, how does it feel? Like, how was like growing up in high school and everything? Like, just was high school, like, were you like more like the nerd or were you like the popular person or were you like, what were you like in high school?
Well, I feel like for my school, if you played sports, you were part of the popular crowd. So I didn't play any sports. We had just like our little friend group and we were kind of the little rebels. We started, you know, partying in high school a little earlier than we probably should have. And so I think we were like popular, like people knew us, but we weren't like the traditional, like, oh, we played sports. High school was interesting though. I mean, I went through some pretty intense bullying and that like led me to go, I started doing college classes in high school to like get away from all of it. So high school was really interesting and kind of changed my whole path where I probably would have stayed in the small town if it weren't for like that bullying I experienced. So I'm like, it sucks that I had to experience that, but it also led me to this and where I'm at today.
That's so weird, like from hearing like different people's high school stories. Cause like when I was in high school, like everybody was like, we were like a very small town. Like everybody's just nosing everybody's business, but everybody knew everybody. There was like, yeah, if you did sports, like you were popular, but like everybody knew every, like just, it was really like, okay, like you were like the cool jock person, but like nobody was really like the big popular or big person on campus type thing. So it's always weird to hear other people's story. Were you like bullied because you were like smart or something like that?
Oh my God, it's literally for the most ridiculous reason. I had a really close group of girlfriends And my uncle was living in Kentucky and he was like a ticket scalper for some reason. Like he was trying it for a hobby job. And so he got all of these Justin Bieber tickets and he called me and he's like, Morgan, I have front row tickets for Justin Bieber. And this was back when like he had just been found from Scooter. And so no one really knew of him yet. And I'm like, I kind of know like the song Baby, like, yeah, like I'll come. And so I invited all these girls and I was like, you guys want to go? I think it'd be really fun. And they're like, no, we don't even believe you. Like, it's not going to happen, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going. So like, it is happening. And so I went to this Bieber concert in Kentucky and I was the one that actually got pulled on stage to be like the one less lonely girl. And I came back and they all just hated my guts for it. And it was a really weird reason to lose your friend group, but that's high school for you.
What? I never heard no story like that before. That's so weird. Like, honestly, if you would have came back to like our school and told us that, we would probably treat you like we'll put you on a different pedestal. Like, yo, you got to be, you were on stage with Justin Bieber. That is so weird.
It was insane.
So like, there were just haters. That's what it was.
Yeah, I don't know if like they were just truly jealous over it or felt that I like screwed them over because they didn't get to go, but like they got the invite. They just chose not to come.
That's what we call haters. That's never, there's just jealous because you invited them, they didn't want to come, and then you got on stage, da da da. I feel like, I don't know. Yeah, but I'm sorry that you got bullied for that. I never heard of something like yeah, my school, we definitely would have put you on a different pedestal. Like, yo, you touched Justin Bieber, da 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 da. Yeah, that would have been, like, epic. But, no, so, like, how was college life, like, you know, going, like, leaving college? Like, were you first, like, scared to leave, like, your town? Or were you excited just to get out of there?
I was really scared. I think, you know, I'm the first from my family that's even moved away. Both of my brothers still live there and, you know, kind of stayed in that traditional small town, got married, bought a house with their significant other, things like that. So it was super scary. There were a lot of tears. I cried and I like was like, I don't know if I want to go. But when I got there, I loved it. And I'm so thankful that like my mom kind of pushed me out of the nest because Minneapolis was a different experience. It's more of a melting pot. There's a lot more diversity. And it shaped me. I mean, Duluth, Minnesota is Hermantown, Minnesota is super small, very Scandinavian, very white, very just tater tot hot dish. And like, that's the vibe. Like it's small town, Northern Minnesota. So Minneapolis was an incredible place to live. And I miss it every day. I love Minneapolis. So it really just made me and more exposed, well-rounded. It was great.
Were you part of any clubs or anything like in college?
I was in a sorority, but I was a terrible member. I did not really go to my Monday night meetings. I kind of branched out and started like making my own friends. And so I was mostly a sorority person, but I became friends with a lot of people that played hockey. And so would go to like all the sporting events and things like that.
No, that's dope. So like, what did you like exactly study in college?
I had a really weird design your own degree. I thought I wanted to do something in healthcare, which I did end up doing, but I went for like a pre-health science. So it's like geared towards becoming a physician's assistant, a physical therapist, or an occupational therapist. And so I did that. It was a bachelor's in health and wellness. And then I got another like major in applied business, just so I had a little bit of a fallback.
So did you get into like the therapy, like the medical side because of like the bullying you faced in high school?
I just wanted to help people. I think that was a little bit of it. My great grandma was a nurse and she worked during the Great Depression. My brother's wife is a physician's assistant. And I knew I wanted to do something in healthcare and helping people. So I felt that degree kind of teed me up to do like a lot of different things. And so I worked in an emergency room as a medical scribe in college. And so I followed a doctor around with like a little computer and got to see everything and anything, lots of traumas and car accidents, gunshot wounds, things like that. But I quickly learned that I didn't want that level of responsibility. And so that led me to finding occupational therapy. So I actually graduated with my doctorate in occupational therapy in April of 2020.
Congratulations. That's huge. Like I don't see me ever getting a doctorate ever. Like bachelor's probably would have been like the most for me. But no, that's good. So like, where did you
do?
You're not
missing out.
So from there, you like moved to LA?
Yeah. So I got my bachelor's and then I moved to LA after college. I went through a bad breakup and me and my friend were like, do you want to find a place to live together? And we were like, oh, should we go to Uptown, you know, Minneapolis? She's like, well, what about LA? I'm like, well, I just got dumped a week before my college graduation. So yeah, let's do it. And so we packed up my little car and just drove across the country. And so I ended up going back to Minnesota for a little bit to get some more classes I needed for my graduate program. But then I applied to school for my OT courses out here in LA. And so came back in 2017 for those.
So like, what made you like get into podcasting? Cause like, it sounds like what you do, like your whole concept of your podcast is like very dope. I was like, yo, that's actually a really good idea. Like, but like, what made you get into that, like that space?
Well, I graduated right at the beginning of the pandemic. And so everything that I had been working towards in my life was kind of put on pause. Like I didn't get to walk for my hooding ceremony. Never had it actually. I couldn't even apply for like my test to get certified. Like everything was shut down. And so I'd always been a big fan of Reddit. I loved, you know, responding to people, trying to help them solve their problems. Also, the drama is really juicy. It's entertaining. So it was kind of like my stress relief all throughout grad school. And so, you know, with COVID and not being able to take my boards or even get a job, I was in like a super dark place. I was like sitting there, like kind of twiddling my thumbs all day. Like I couldn't do anything. And so my boyfriend was like, well, you know, you've talked about potentially starting a podcast. You love Reddit. And it kind of just all fell into place. And I talked about it for almost an entire year before I finally did it. And he got so sick of me talking about it. He bought all the equipment for me for a Christmas present. And he was like, sweet. Okay, enough talking about it. There's no more excuses. Here you go. And so luckily he's in music and like entertainment. And so he kind of knew about microphones and things like that. So it was super helpful. But I finally just went for it. I was like, okay, here we go.
No, yeah, I always called like Reddit the dark Twitter, or like, I feel like Twitter's already dark, but like Reddit's like darker. Like, what are like some of the craziest stories like that you come across like since doing your podcast?
Oh my God, there's so many. There's so many that like I feel like I can't even put on the podcast. They're so dark. There's one subreddit called like Dark Confessions. And I think the most traumatizing one I saw was a woman who had a special needs child and just like couldn't handle them anymore. And so was putting them in a group home to like never see them again. Damn. And so that one was like really like, oh my God, what did I just read? But I think like the ones I enjoy the most are like the toxic mother-in-law ones, or like the mama's boy ones, where like the wife is writing in and she's like, my husband's mom installed video cameras in our bedroom. She's been watching us. And I'm like, oh my God, like send help.
No, that's, you know, yeah. Reddit is a very special place. Like I go, actually it's a good place to go on for like getting questions and stuff. Like there's like, I feel like they're more hardcore, like their whole user platform. But like, who's, is it just you on your podcast, or who also, like, do you have co-hosts, or how does it work?
So it's mostly my show. I started with a friend of mine, and she just decided, you know, kind of after the second episode, she just felt like it was too much for her. I think putting yourself on the internet's kind of a scary thing. And so she wanted to step back. And so I was just like, well, it's my baby at this point. That's the only thing I got going for me. So I'm going to keep going. And then you can come on, you know, if you're comfortable with it. And so it ended up shaping up to be me. And then I have like kind of regular co-hosts. So it's my best friends. And then my boyfriend, my dad pops in here and there. And now I'm kind of opening it up to other, you know, creators or other people that, have a platform or an issue they're passionate about that can kind of come on and lend their expertise and takes to the show.
Do you remember like the first message you got from like somebody that's like, yo, you really like helped me out in my life during this time with like, because you know how you answer people's questions or different, talk about different subjects on Reddit. Like, well, do you remember like the first time somebody messaged you like, yo, this really helped me out through my life or da 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 da?
Yeah, I actually have a folder going. It's called like Two Hot Takes Kind Words, because you kind of need the balance. You read one negative comment and you can kind of fixate on it. So I have a positive folder going now. But the first ones that really started sticking out were coming out of Australia. And the States were kind of opening up and things, you know, here were not normal by any means, but not as restricting. And so Australia, they were under complete lockdown still. And I kept getting messages from listeners over there being like, I have no one. I've been in my house for the past 6 months straight. Your show makes me feel like I'm laughing along with friends. Your show makes me feel less anxious, less depressed. Like I feel like I'm a human again. And that really resonated with me. And that's kind of been like the common theme woven in, is that like, it is, you're laughing with friends. It's just a welcome, inclusive space that has just become a unique little community.
Is there any, would you have like, would there be like a certain person you would never have on your podcast?
I never want to say never, but probably Joe Rogan.
You don't like Joe Rogan at all? Like, what's something you don't like about him?
You know, he seems pretty racist.
Oh my goodness. No, that's fun. That's a funny answer.
No, never say never. The man, he could become enlightened and you never know.
I feel like he's one of those people that I feel like he could probably turn back. I feel like there's some people that they're stuck in their ways, but I feel like he's one of those people that you could probably like get him, like if you really get to his head, or not hit to his head, but like really like touch him, I feel like he'll come back the other direction.
There's still a chance.
Yeah, I feel like there's still hope with him. I was like, what are like some other podcasts like do you enjoy like listen to or like just watching?
I love NPR's Life Kit. It's a really, really cool concept that they do where they pick these topics that are very niche and then build a show out around it. So one that really resonated with me was talking about postpartum depression. And so they brought on like different experts to talk about postpartum depression, how to deal with it, tips for moms, things like that. I feel like it's something that is still very not talked about, a little taboo still. And so they pick these different little niche topics and provide like helpful life hacks, life tip advice kind of things about them.
Do you ever plan on like go, you know, because I see like a lot of podcasts right now go on like tours and like doing like arena shows and everything. Do you plan on doing that one day?
I think the sky's the limit for this. I would love to do that. We had our first live virtual show back in March 6th. And so that was a lot of fun, but I would love to be able to do it in person and actually like do meet and greets and connect with people. We performed in Austin for like a South by Southwest adjacent event, and I have really bad social anxiety and stage fright. So that was really probably the hardest thing I've done thus far. But I'm like, after that show, I'm like, okay, the rest of the shows are going to be a breeze. Like it was really loud and crazy. So I'm like, going forward, I got this. So yeah, I would absolutely love to do a tour.
No, after like doing a first live show is always like weird. I mean, like, cause like you can look at somebody and they're not feeling it, then it just changes your entire demeanor. Like, damn, maybe I shouldn't be doing this or something like that. But no, I feel like
that was the vibe. That was literally the vibe. Like, it was a really, really cool event, and we're so glad we got invited to be a part of it. But we didn't really know what we were getting ourselves into, and it was like an open bar event, and so it was kind of like, come in, have the open bar, and also there's going to be a podcast in the same room. So people didn't care about us, they were like, open bar, let's go. So it was so loud, we could barely hear each other up there like talking on stage, but it was the perfect first show, because now going forward, everything will feel easy.
No, yeah, it's always, yeah, it always be, I'm telling you, that would be like the worst feeling. Like, you look out to somebody and they just do not care, or they look like they're just bored, or I just get so frightened. I'm like, yo, what am I doing? Like, why am I up here? Da, 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 da. But no, that's a pretty amazing. What is your advice to somebody that's like, wants to start a podcast, but they just haven't yet? You know, I know you were like one of them too. So like, what is like your advice for that?
Do it. Absolutely. Start tomorrow. I think like for me, I got really caught up on like perfection. Like it needs to be, I need to have like everything perfect before I can start. And that's not the case. Like if you're passionate about it and you like love the content that you're going to be talking about, like go for it, because that passion and that joy and that excitement is going to come across, and it doesn't have to be perfect. Like I've been doing this for a year and I still make mistakes. I still have a lot of technology problems. So it's not ever going to be perfect, but just start, because the sooner you get it out there, the better.
What are like some secret tips for somebody that's like, that's kind of like stuck in the, like they like their viewers or whatever, they feel like they're stuck right now and they're trying to grow. Like, what would your advice be for those type of people that like want to like grow, but they feel like they're stuck right now?
I think creating bite-sized content is like the perfect way to get it out there and introduce it to people. TikTok is obviously a beast. It's changed the music industry. It's blown up podcasts really quick. And Instagram Reels is doing that too. I mean, Instagram is trying to compete. YouTube Shorts is trying to compete. So if you can take your content and find little bite-sized things that are going to get people's attention or like have them connect with it, do that and like create that content and just push it out on every platform. It can be the same piece. Like it doesn't have to be different for every platform. Make it manageable and easy for yourself and just put it on TikTok, put it on Reels, put it on YouTube Shorts, and just start using those as marketing tools for yourself.
No, that's actually very true. Cause like, I know personally, I used to just drop the full episode and like people go watch it. Then you just drop like a minute clip or like 30 seconds to a minute clip. And then people, I'd be like, yo, why did way more people watch this than the whole podcast? And then they'll go like, eventually if you add a link or something to it, they'll go watch your whole podcast, whatever. But I was like, yo, I'm about to just start doing that now.
That's actually, yeah. And the carryover might not, like, it might not line up. Like my TikTok's at like 2.8 or something like that. And YouTube's only at 300K. So not everyone is going to like carry over, but it's going to keep helping you grow. And like, if one person finds you on TikTok and then they like it and they tell two other friends, like you're going to grow. So it's just a matter of like getting yourself out there and taking the chance, the risk.
So what is like your ultimate like goal with your podcast? Do you plan on like, I know people, I see people owning like podcast networks. Do you plan on owning your own podcast network? Like, what's your like ultimate goal?
It's already in the works. Yeah. So we're starting a network. We've signed one show so far.
Groundbreaking, yeah. Dude.
I know. So that's already in the works. We finally like picked our name and applied for the LLC. So if you start seeing Kodo Club out there, that's us. But yeah, I think building a network, I really want to be creator friendly. I think that was the biggest hurdle I dealt with as a new creator and someone that like content creation was not my background by any means. It was healthcare and just being a normal person. So I really would like to create something that is creator friendly and allows creators to keep their IP and monetize in the best way they can without raking them over the coals and taking everything they have. So that was a big challenge of mine when I first got in, and some of the, you know, the companies and other networks out there that reached out, I was like, I'm glad that I have the knowledge to read contracts that I do have, because if I didn't, I can't even imagine what the outcome would have been, because some of them were very, very scary.
No, yeah. So, no, I feel you on that. Cause I was like, yo, I sometimes I felt disrespected. Cause I'd be like, yo, why would you even like send this my way? But
yeah, I was like, are you serious? Like, what? This can't be real. Like, where's Ashton?
Like, yo, why would you send me this? Yeah, I feel like, yeah, I'd just be feeling away. But like, if, for somebody that like has a podcast and wants to like join your network, like, what are you searching for? Like, how would they be able to do that?
Reach out, email me. Why are you looking for a network? Are you in the market?
No, not me personally. No, I'm good right now, solo. But if I do, I'll hit you up for sure.
Reach out to me. Like, send me a link for your show. I really love, you know, women created podcasts, women led podcasts. Obviously, I think, you know, the more you can boost women, the better. But just send me a link for your show. I listen to all the shows that I take on. I really, the one that I did take on so far, I loved it and believe that it's going to grow and be an amazing show. I care about the message they're promoting. And so for me, I'd like to have a connection and like feel that it's good content and not something that it's like, oh God, did you really just say that? But reach out and send me your show and I'll check it out.
I have a question. Cause I know this is really going on. Like, what do you think about male podcasts? Cause I know when people were first talking about like men should have podcasts, and I was like, so why did they say that? And then after the next couple of weeks, I was like, oh, I kind of get why they're saying that. Cause like a lot of men out here are like wilding out. So what are your thoughts about that? Like just men in podcast areas?
I think there's some good ones. I think it's really shown, like, obviously, you know, Drew Afawalo has came on one of my podcasts, and Drew's show with her sister is actually the one that's on our network. So Drew has kind of exposed a lot of those podcasts and kind of tried to combat that toxic masculinity and things like that. But I think they're very telling about, you know, where we are in terms of like, obviously this is kind of a blanket statement and not, you know, maybe it's the exception and not the rule, but it's shown a lot of, you know, views that are still held about women, you know, things like body count and how it's not okay for a woman to have sex with 20 people, but it's not a big deal for a man and things like that. So, you know, ideally we wouldn't be perpetuating those types of things and getting them out there. But I also think by some guys creating those platforms and spreading that kind of stuff, it's opening the door to have conversations about them and how they're not correct or acceptable anymore. So it's kind of like, do we get it out there and then correct them and, you know, broadcast that it's not true, or should we just take away their mics? I go back and forth.
Is there like a certain guest you really like want to have on your podcast? Like, say, like if you can have them on in next month, like who do you want to have on your podcast?
Oh, I would love to have Jenna Marbles come on. I miss Jenna. Her YouTube channel is what I grew up with. And I think like in the back of my head, I've always kind of wanted to be a creator and like create a platform for myself. And I think she was probably my biggest inspiration growing up. And I get it. She's, you know, respect her piece. She's kind of quit YouTube and things like that. But I think she's amazing.
What are some things you want to do like outside of podcasting? I know like everybody, like, are you like a certain, like, I know some people like have podcasts, but they like to do like fashion on the side or like music. Is there anything like you like to do on the side? Like, yo, I'm about to explore this more.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to use my expensive OT degree in some way. I'm really passionate about maternal health, and like sexuality and stuff like that. So I'd love to kind of create more awareness around maternal health. I think one thing that like really shocked me in grad school was the fact that like women of color are over 200% more likely to die in childbirth than a white woman. And so that's something that like haunts me. And I'm just like, that's so unacceptable. So I'd love.
Is that during like, what is that? Like, is there like a certain reason for that? Or like,
There's so many. I think medical bias is one. I think medical bias is probably the biggest one. I mean, even Serena Williams, when she gave birth to her little one, she had a blood clot in her leg and she knew something was wrong. And the doctor did not believe her, was like, no, you're fine. Like, brushed her off. And she ended up, she did have a clot. and the clot went from her leg up to her lungs, and she had a really complicated birth. And it's like, I think healthcare providers believing women in general is kind of a problem, but I think that becomes even worse when it's a woman of color and things like that. So I think there's a lot. It's a very complex problem that has a lot of different reasons, but yeah, medical bias is one of them. I mean, up until recently, it said in certain textbooks, and I believe it was a nursing textbook that was one of the bigger ones, but it said that Black women and Black men experience pain differently, and they experience less pain, and so they therefore need less pain medication. And so that was in print until recently, and so it's absolutely mind-blowing. And so it's kind of a systemic issue.
So what is like a way to, like, you think that could like solve it? Like, is there like a union or anything for that? Or
yeah, I think it needs to be kind of the education board coming together, creating a standardized curriculum, and just cracking down on all these, you know, healthcare institutions that train these providers. And then, you know, there's a lot of boards and commissions that regulate hospitals and, you know, things across the US. So there's like the joint commissions. And I think it would be, again, kind of creating a standardized program that combats these, you know, wrong informations or misconceptions, and kind of standardizes it across, you know, the country.
Oh, cool. Well, thank you. I didn't know nothing. I had no knowledge of that at all.
I know, I'm geeking out over here.
No, but I appreciate your time. I thank you for coming on my podcast. I really appreciate it. I'm glad you're killing it. I know you're going to keep killing it. So yeah.
Thank you for having me. It's been so fun.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Right, bye.